some presenters each sharing their experience, strength, and hope around three of the steps. And then what we do is we open it up and we invite anybody to come to the mic and share their experience, their strengths, their insights, even their feelings on whatever came up for them from what's been shared. So we're back on track now with steps 7, 8, and 9, and our presenter for that is my friend Blair.
I'm Blair, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I have to start by sharing with you that right now my heart is in my stomach and it's beating 100 miles a second. Not a minute, a second. That's how fast it's beating. But when Richard asked me to share on steps 7, 8, and 9, the same heart didn't skip a beat. I immediately said yes because I understand how this program works and I know it's important for me to get up here and share my experience, strength, and hope, just as you do. I get so much when you come forward and share the same thing with me. So I'm glad that we have that reciprocation, and I am grateful to be here, even though I'm nervous as hell. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. I'm going to read a few little tidbits from Path to Recovery, Al-Anon Steps, Traditions, and Concepts, and make a few comments as I go. Step 7. Humility, the state of being humble, is often misunderstood. It is not a state of weakness, but of strength. It does not mean inferiority, resignation, or submission. These imply that we are still resisting our need for help. When we are humble, we are totally willing to accept God's help, knowing that without it, we cannot progress further. In humility, we possess self-esteem, accept ourselves as we are, assets and defects alike, and extend the same acceptance to others. I chose this because I think there's something pretty special about this step in knowing that God accepts me for who I am. And I think my higher power wants me to do the same with others. I come from a family that has suffered from the family disease of alcoholism, and I can be a very judgmental person. And I think, you know, sometimes this came from the supper table discussions. A lot of our discussions centered around my father, who's the recovered alcoholic, talking about the people at work, other parents, including hockey parents, and there was a lot of judgment. And we all know that even those of us that don't suffer from the family disease directly, like I'm not an alcoholic, but a lot of the isms were passed on to me, and you know that phrase that we extend the same acceptance to others is really freeing for me. I need to accept where other people are at. I can be a really judgmental person at times, so it's important for me to accept where I am at, but also important for me to accept where you're at. How do we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings? As we learned in step 3, there is no set way to communicate with our higher power. Some of us will read our list of imperfections over and over, asking our higher power to remove them. Some of us will find it helpful to pray and meditate on our relationship with God. That's the beauty of the program. There's no specific recipe. We each have an individual relationship with our higher power. My higher power might be different than your higher power, but the beauty is that we make it work for us. We have these steps that we follow, and you know, I can speak from experience that I find the quiet of the morning or when I'm in nature probably the most conducive for me in terms of connecting with my higher power. I also find, you know, the third step and the seventh step go so well together. So I start my day out with the third step prayer, which I'd like to read to you. It goes, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. I find this very helpful because it reminds me that I need to humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings, you know, on a daily basis. And I find when I start my day with this prayer, my day seems to go a lot better than when I don't. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. In step 8, we are given a new task to perform and specific direction for approaching the recovery work needed. Our specific assignment is to make a list of persons we have harmed. I can remember doing my step 4, and I used the three-column method. So I made a column of who I'm resentful at, the cause of my resentments, and, you know, I made a list of how my resentments affected me. I asked myself where I had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, and you know what, it was amazing to see that a lot of my resentments came from fears, especially a fear of rejection. I saw my faults, my character defects right in front of me. They were clear as black and white. I also saw my wrongdoings and the people I needed to make amends to. You know, it was tough, but it was good to see that I played a huge part in a lot of my resentments. And, you know, when I got to this step, you know, I was starting to get a little bit anxious because I knew that it was essential that I talk with some of these people that I had harmed over the years. And, you know, these are people that I love and I cherish and, you know, friends, family. So, you know, step 8 was hard. But I also heard from people in these rooms that, you know, turn to your higher power for strength. Talk to your sponsor about how you're feeling. And I did that, and I think that that made things easier. After we carefully examine and review our list for thoroughness, we are ready to tackle the second part of step 8, become willing. Step 8 directs us to take action and continue to try until we are willing. If we keep the focus on ourselves and our part, whether it is 5% or 95% of the problem, we are better able to become willing. How do we acquire this willingness? Many seek prayer and meditation. Others call upon the experience of other Al-Anon members or their sponsor. For me, I did try and keep the focus on myself. There was people that I had on my list of amends to make that had really hurt me. But it was important for me to keep the focus on myself. I wasn't there to have them make amends to me. I wasn't there expecting them to say sorry to me. I was just there to do my part. And you know what? I have to keep making amends on a continuous basis. And something that I've allowed myself in regards to that is to take time. sometimes I can be a pretty nasty person, and it takes me a day or two to make those amends because I need to figure out what's going on inside myself. And I do that through, you know, prayer and meditation. I do that through talking with my sponsor. And I think that's important for myself because I need to understand what's going on before I can truly make a good amend. I don't think I can do that until I understand what fear is coming up. You know, I think making amends is important for myself because it's freeing. It's a way of me keeping my relationships healthy. If I don't make amends, then people are going to resent me. And it's a way of me becoming a better man. Step 9, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. In making amends, we need to understand that we are not necessarily making an apology. There are differences between amends and apologies. In making an apology, we usually say, I'm sorry, expecting a response of acceptance, pardon, or forgiveness. In making amends, we may state our errors, our role in the incident, and that we will correct our behavior for the future. We may or may not ask for forgiveness, and we may or may not experience a positive response. In many cases, our changed behavior indicated stronger amends than words could ever be. If we have any expectation of the response to amends, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. I think that gets back to that the amends are something that I need to do, and my amends shouldn't come with expectations. I really like what it says about that it's not an apology. You know, when we apologize, sometimes we expect people to accept them. I remember talking with my sponsor and coming to that realization that, you know what, I need to be prepared that some people may not accept my amends, or that they may need time. Okay, in some of those same conversations, I learned what it takes to make a good amend. You know, I need to state what I did to hurt that person. It's helpful to let them know that, you know, I was being selfish or fearful and that I shouldn't have done that. You know, I may say sorry, but I think the most important thing for myself is to let the people I love that I've hurt to know that I'm going to try to not do that anymore. And I think that's the most important part of my amends. You know, and then allow them the opportunity to respond when I say, is there anything I can do to make it up to you? And you know what? The woman I love, when I make amends to her, usually it's that, you know, that piece that I just said. It's that, you know, well, I just want you to try not to do that anymore. So it gives the other person a chance to respond, and I think it lets them know that I'm genuinely committed to overcoming my defects, that I'm committed to changing my behavior. So I think with that, I'm going to close. I just want to say that, you know, when I was doing this, the slogan, keep it simple, came to mind. So I tried to do that until last night. And I should show you my book and everything that I wrote down and my sheets of paper. And you know what? I got to a point this morning where I took a step back and I said, you know what? My higher power has got my back. The words that come out of my mouth are coming from a higher power, and it's going to turn out the way that he's intended it. And like I said at the start, you know, I hope you've taken something away from what I've said, just as, you know, I learn from you. I take away from when you get up here and do the same. So with that, I'm going to end.
So with that, I'm going to invite anybody who would like to come up and share on step 7 or 8 or 9 or any combination thereof. See, Nick just came in late, and he's going, what the heck is going on here? Because I was just commenting during the break that when they did this on Catalina Island, very different crowd, but they actually had to they had to cut off people, and they had people arm wrestling to be next in line. And when Blair was talking about that you know, structuring amends, that's something that's really important to me. And part of that is not bringing I'm sorry, because I was sorry all my life. You know, I kind of think of it that I've lost my license for I'm sorry for abusing it, because I went through my life, I'm sorry, and it came out as almost filler in my vocabulary. So what is important for me is to, when I'm making amends, is to recognize that it was wrong for me to do that. And I think what's important there is that signals to the people who know me so well and who are so accustomed to me being sorry that I am, in fact, recognizing that what I did was wrong. You know, and from there, taking responsibility for it and committing to changing and all of that stuff. But I need some other way of taking responsibility than just a simple I'm sorry, because I'm sorry doesn't mean the same thing for someone like me that it ought to.
Okay. Hi, my name is Deanna, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Deanna.
Just a couple comments. I'm not really sure what I'm going to say, so we'll see what comes through. Really enjoy this format, and thanks everybody for sharing. In our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, when we get to step 9, that's when the promises are. And I think, Wes, you might have to help me with this, but the first part of it says, you awake? The first part of it says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will know a new happiness and a new freedom. Good paraphrase? Yeah, good. Right on. And that's true for me. Christina just opened my heart this morning, and when she was talking about that black hole, I think many of us feel that or felt that. And I remember one of the first times I talked, realizing that I had nothing in here, nothing, and it was black. And she talked about that little bit of hope and looking for that little bit of light in there, or gray, or not quite so black, you know, dark or not quite so dark. And I'm just so appreciate what you said. And part of the promises that have come true for me are that I'm here with my sister, who's fairly new to Al-Anon, and what a gift that is. I'm so grateful that my family is opening up and other people are in recovery. It's not quite, doesn't feel quite so lonely. And for me, in regards to making amends, I really appreciate him speaking about when to do so would injure them or others. When I made my amends to my parents, I didn't tell them all the stuff I did because they didn't need to hear it. I did say I apologize for not being the kind of daughter that you deserve, for not being there for you. And I've spent several years trying to continue to make those living amends to my parents. And I've been so blessed that they've accepted it and that we have a relationship today that's okay. Is it the one I have pictured in my head? No. But you know what? The ones with my children is a little bit closer to that picture. And it's okay because it never will be perfect. So that's all I wanted to share. I'm just really grateful for this conference, and thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jill, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I still have to lean because these are still quite low. What I've found with Step 9 specifically is it has given me a lot of freedom. Because in my four, latest one that I've done, I've realized that I didn't have a whole lot of resentments that weren't caused by fear. Just about every single one of those fears had to deal with somebody else or my perspective on what they think of me. Because of something I did or something I thought I did. So when I set about to actually do these amends and I actually did them, I got to own up for what I actually did. I could take responsibility. I got to try to remedy what it was. I don't know how to call that exactly. I don't want to call it fix it because I don't know if that's a really good word. But the nice thing was I got to actually own up for what I did. So now that's out in the open. We both know exactly what I did. We both get to have a conversation about what that was. And I no longer have to be afraid, which gives me a whole lot of freedom. And it's not something I've known. That also has been an awesome thing because it has allowed me not to isolate any more than I have to. I get to keep those relationships, hopefully. Or at the very least, you know, not be afraid that something's going to happen to me. And that is allowed for a lot of growth in my life. It's allowed for a lot of really good friends. And something that I've come to realize these last 2 days here, actually, is that I've developed a bit of a family that isn't blood related by any stretch of the term. It's you guys. And I really appreciate everything that people say because it gives me a different perspective. My ego tells me that I'm right and everyone else is wrong. And when I get to listen, thankfully to that one meeting that we had the other day, I get to actually sit down and, you know, realize I'm not right, which leads to those amends. Because usually if I think I'm right, I'm usually doing something that isn't very beneficial to anyone else. And I just get to grow that much more as a person. And my relationships benefit and have benefited and will hopefully continue to grow. And I get to have a bigger family at some point in time. Anyways, thank you very much, everyone, for having me.
Hard for me. I'm very nervous. My name is Patricia, and I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I am so very, very grateful to AA and the man that started this program, or the two men that started it, rather. I will be forever grateful to them. And step 9, making direct amends. I made direct amends to most of my family, but my dad most of all, because I carried a resentment for many, many years for my father. And in fact, I think that that's why I started drinking, but I'm not blaming him for my drinking, but it's just that the pain was so unbearable. And thanks to AA and my sponsor, I was able to make direct amends to him. And I didn't expect anything in return, and it turned out really well. I wrote to him because he was losing his sight and couldn't see very well, and his hearing was not that great either. And he accepted it really, really well. I told him that I was really I really felt bad that I had worried him so much and that I had put him through so much, and I stressed him out a lot. And he did say that it was because of me that he had a heart attack, but I don't really believe that. But it could have had something to do with it. But he wrote me back. He sent me a tape that rather back, and he said, and I never thought I'd ever hear these words, but he said, oh. He said, can you ever forgive me for not being the kind of father to you that I should have been? The saddest words are mice and men. It's too late. It's too late. And, of course, it was 40 years since I heard anything like that from my father, because all I got was criticism and put downs, and you're not good enough, and you're stupid, and you're dumb, and you'll never amount to anything. And so my self-esteem was rock bottom when I came to AA. And for years I was trying to find myself, but I didn't know what I was looking for. I didn't know how to find myself. And I said, it's okay, Daddy, it's okay. And my daughter and I were actually listening to the tape at the same time, because she was visiting me at the time I was getting ready to get married, and she was there as my maid of honor kind of thing. And she said, it's okay, Mom, it's going to be okay. And I said, yes, I know it is now. And I was just so grateful that I had a chance to make amends to my dad before he passed away, because he had chronic emphysema, and he didn't live too much longer than that. But I tried to be a friend to him as much as I could be, and to be there for him as much as I could be. And I'm just really grateful to this program. Thank you all for my sobriety. Thanks.
Okay, we've run out of time on step 7, 8, and 9, and I'm now going to ask the final of our presenters, our resident den mother, Sharon P., up to share.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Still works. Anyway, you guys are really sharing, and you're just, it's all good, but it brought tears to my eyes. Thank you. Okay, I'm supposed to talk on step 10, 11, and 12. 10 is continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Some people call these steps maintenance steps. For me, I have to keep working the program. I don't have any maintenance. I just keep plugging along every day, every day, every day. So I do. But a funny thing about step 10, I'll tell you two things. The way I work it today and the way I worked it years ago. And to tell you years ago, I have to go back even further. I came into Al-Anon way back in the late 70s. And this is who I am. I don't know if anybody can relate to this. I went 6 weeks of the program, and I decided to do a step 4. No sponsor, nobody to talk to, just me and Blueprint for Progress. What that did to me was it kept me out of the rooms for 18 years. It scared the living daylights out of me. I had 3 small children, so I wouldn't do it during the day, but I did it every evening. I didn't sleep for a week. I cried for a week. The black hole. I found the black hole, and it was very frightening. So I didn't come back to these rooms for many years. So when I did come back, and this is, I'm sure, is not conference approved, But I couldn't do a step four for a while, okay? I was still scared. So I did a step 10, you know? If I couldn't... But it was okay because it was manageable, right? Because I was only taking a day at a time. I didn't take my whole life. So I did it day by day, day by day. I figured if I couldn't dig up the garbage from past, at least I wouldn't make it any worse, right? Whether I did a step 10 right, who knows? But it was the way I did it. Today, after a few years in the program, I worked the step 10 daily. But, you know, a lot of times, I guess I've been in the program long enough that I know right away when I've done something wrong, okay? Like, I know. Some of the time I know it, and I can make an amend. Sometimes it takes me a few days to know it, because I still have that, you know, that frozen, that denial, that, you know, those things. I still have some of that. So sometimes it takes me a few days to realize what I've done, said, whatever. But I think it's important to remember this is an inventory. This is not a beat-up day, okay? And the longer I'm in the program, the more I realize that I have to realize that I have good and I have bad, okay? And I can look at my day and say, you know, this wasn't... Well, my favorite thing is, okay, honey, that wasn't the best behavior you've ever had, but you did try, and we can do better. And that's what I do today. And I also look at my day and say, you know what? That was okay, what I did. And I think that's really important. I think it's so important that we can look back and say, you know what? I'm a different person today than I was 10 years ago or 15 or 20 years ago or even 5 years ago. And I think if we don't give ourselves permission to look at that inventory and say, I handled this situation a lot better now than I would have before without the program. And I think that's important. And I think that I try to do that. So in making amends, and I think people deserve my amend. If I've harmed them, if I've done anything that I see, then I believe that my only job is to make an amend to them, which of course is not just an apology. That may or will be part of it, but it's also change of behavior. I can make all the apologies I want if I don't change. If I make an apology on a Wednesday and do the same thing Thursday, what good is it, right? So I try. Now, I might do the same thing Thursday, but at least it's with awareness, and I do really try not to. So step 10 is a growing thing every day for me because I try to do it better today than I did it 10 years ago. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God as we understood him. That is, I heard about the word backbone this morning. To me, this is the backbone of my program. I work a gentle program, at least I think it is, and this is just so much part of me. God has always been a part of my life. When I was growing up, God was much more detached than he is today. Today, I believe that he lives within me. I remember hearing a speaker a few years ago at an Al-Anon meeting, and she said, you know, today, my God is as close as my breath. And she said, I can just go like that and I can feel the heat of my breath on my hand and know that God is there. That's where I think the program has helped, you know, and I got it in these rooms. I go to church, you know, church is a part of my life. It's an important part of my life. However, I got my spirituality from these rooms. These rooms showed me that I can have a relationship with God that is part of my being. How do I do that? I do a few things. I journal. I've had pages and pages and pages and pages of journaling. It's good for me. The way I journal, and it's just my way, I write on the page, Dear God, I feel. And oh Lord, sometimes it's amazing what I hear myself saying. So So I've done that for a long time. And you know, it comes and goes. I mean, I can journal better in January, and then maybe May I won't be so good at journaling, and then I'll be okay again in June. But I've learned to accept that. I've learned to accept that that is my spirituality. That is the way it is. And I know that if I'm going through a valley, which I do go through, I know that I'm going to find that mountaintop again. I have done meditation. I sit. Just sit. Basically, I sit and be. I think that's so important. I've spent so much of my life, being a doing. That's what I did. That's what I did best, was I was a doer. And so it was a struggle. It was a struggle for me to sit quietly. You know how you think, oh, I'm going to go home and I'm going to meditate, you know? And so you turn everything off, and I turned everything off, and I sat there, and then, wow, then the head started, and it went, and it went, and it went. So that was a big thing that I had to do before I could meditate again. You know, my meditation comes and goes. Some days I can do it, some days I can't. Some days my head is just a-going. So that comes and goes. But I think in meditation, it's that, you know, that phrase, be still and know that I am God. That is important. Because the more I can be still, the more I know that I'm not my own higher power, then I can let it go. And again, I wish I could do it perfectly every day, but so far I've never been able to. If anybody finds out how to do that, can you let me know, though? Because I'd love to hear. So today I also have conversations with my God. All day. Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't like that too much, but, you know. Okay. Oh, thank you, God. I read a book, and it said, the best prayers are help and thank you. And it's simple. And that's kind of my relationship with my God today, is very simple. I'm not good at rote type things, but I do want to have that conscious contact as much as possible. And it's not always possible, but I try. So step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, when I was first in the program, I would have these spiritual awakenings at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd wake up and I'd go, you did what? And I go, you said what? But I think that was the only time I shut up long enough for my higher power to be working in my life, you know, to give me some clarity of what I had done and said in my life. Because, of course, I didn't think I had done and said anything wrong. I was the victim. Anybody relate to that? And it's hard. It's hard when you're the victim, and when you're this, you know, so sweet person, and then to realize that, you know what, I have to look at me. And it's tough, but I did. And I did only because I was forced to, because it kept me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I had to look at that. I wanted a burning bush. Oh, I wanted a burning bush so well. And I guess that was my burning bush. But mainly it's been little embers along the way, my spiritual awakenings, you know. And if I don't pay close attention, I will miss them. It's easy to miss them. And I think that's the gift of the program, is that I think I heard one other speaker today talk, or yeah, last night, talk about the being awake to seeing this program or higher power, whatever it is, work in our lives. Because I know that I went through years and years and years, and you know, the same things happened, but I wasn't alert to it. Okay, it took this program and this stripping, and I think I heard something about this today too, the stripping, you know. To me, this program is about stripping. It's about, you know, doing the step 4 and the step 5 and the step 6, 7, 8. And, you know, they all take a little bit of resentment. And then it'll take something else, will take a little bit of fear away. And something will take a little bit of something else away. Because I know, and this I know, that I was born perfect. And so were you. I know we were all born perfect. But what we did is that, I know I did anyway, I put on the armor, right? Everything that happened as a child, everything that happened as an adult, I'd put on another piece of armor. And pretty soon I was walking around carrying a lot of armor. And this program has been the stripping of it. And that is such a gift. How? I don't know. But it does. It strips it. And so today I can look and say, yeah, that was my higher power working in my life. I miss it. I miss it too, you know. Sometimes it takes me days or even a couple of months to look back and say, yeah. Because I can always see this program working so much better in hindsight than I can, you know, today. I have to look back and say, yeah, that was my higher power. And I am so grateful. So that's what this program is for me. I believe I am a child of God. I believe you are a child of God. And I believe that there's good things out there for us. I believe that that to work the program... Oh, I did try. You know, none of my family's in the program, okay? Nobody. But I did try to get them all in. I tried very hard to get them all in. I almost broke up some of our relationships by trying to get them in. Thank heavens my higher power came to my rescue and said, back off, Sharon. Enough's enough, you know? And so now, I don't. My hope and my prayer is that one day, you know, I mean, okay, you guys know I work at a church, so, you know, we have a saying, it says, preach the gospel, and if you need to, use words. And for me, it's work the program and encourage people to come in, and if I have to, use words. So that's kind of what my 10, 11, and 12 is today. Now, if you ask me next year, I don't know. We'll see how it all evolves, because it always changed. I'm usually the last person to know how it's going to work out, because I have to look in hindsight to see how it's going to work out. But thank you for asking me to share.
Okay, with that, I'd like to invite anyone who would care to come up and share about 10, 11, 12, or anything that you've heard so far this weekend. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Ricky Jean, grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Ricky Jean.
Thank you to everyone for sharing. This has been great so far. I just want to share a little bit on 10, 11, and 12. I tell you a funny story what happened last night. When I was chairing the meeting, what I decided to do was I just picked the word festival, and I found some words from F and Al-Anon words with all those letters in them, and I cut them all up, and we all picked topics last night. And surprisingly, the one that I picked was spirituality, and I had the As We Understood book with me. So sometimes that stuff happens, and I think it's kind of a cool thing, and sometimes it's kind of strange. But when those things happen, I think that's my higher power working. And I used to think that that was, I used to think I had to figure things out and they have to be solid, and I don't think that anymore. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Phyllis, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, I'm Phyllis.
And I, too, would like to thank all the presenters. You did an awesome job. I remember when I first came to the program, when I go to a meeting, and the topic was the steps or the traditions, I'd say, oh, no, not those again. But, you know, I've been here long enough to realize that they certainly do play a part of my life, and they're there for us, and all the presenters helped to reinforce that with me again today. It is really a self-program, and it's for me. It's an individual program, and it's for my recovery. when I look at, step nine, making those amends, I don't do it for the other person. I do it for myself. And when Blair was sharing, I thought, I remember one person who, if I saw them walking down the street, I'd cross the street so I wouldn't have to face them. And, just that adrenaline rush and what it did to me to have to avoid that person and to make that amend and now to be able to walk down the street and not have to cross the street when I see that person, that's my recovery. That's my step nine working for me. Step 10, I have to share an experience where, we have so many chances with these steps. We do it in step four. We can go back to step one. We can do step 10. And we'll continue to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. And I remember this situation with the alcoholic in my life, and I had been mean. And, I had that instant step 10 experience where I thought, I need to make this amend. And within 5 minutes, I made that amend. And, reflecting on it, it was the difference between there being tension in my house for day, a week, maybe 2 weeks, however long, and it was gone, instantly gone with using that step 10. Was that step 10? Yes. Yeah, okay. I also like the one with prayer and meditation. What's that? Yeah. Okay. The prayer and meditation one I love too. I've heard various people say about when they came to the program, and I'm one of them that, I had given up on God, so when I heard the God word in these steps, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to stay. But it didn't take me long to figure out that it's a spiritual program, not a religious program. And, step 10, I was raised in a very, very religious home. And as a matter of fact, we used to get on our knees and say the rosary after supper every night, and that's, I quite often blame my bad knees on that experience. But I learned one of my character assets too, because I could say the rosary. We talk about rote prayers. I could say the rosary and plan the rest of my evening at the same time. So I had that character asset of multitasking. So step 10 for me is, like Sharon says, it's talking to God. I don't need those prayers I learned as a youngster. I can just talk to God. And I can listen to God. And I love the concept of the Dear God letter. And I do that too. Dear God, I need help with. And that opening line for me, I just pour it all out. And it's amazing how at the end of that letter, I am thanking my higher power or God for giving me the solution to what I need help with. Because I don't know how it works, but it works. Because I'm writing about the solutions to what I was asking for help with. So, the steps are awesome. My step 12, too, I didn't have a lightning bolt or whatever, but I've had spiritual ahas. And my first acknowledgement or realization of step 12 was it was an awakening of the spirit within me, because I had lost that. I had totally lost that spirit. When I got to the program, I was a shell of a person. I didn't know who I was, and I was just, that people-pleasing doormat that, we quite often hear about. So, I do have those spiritual ahas, and it's just amazing when we take time to acknowledge them and appreciate them. So, I truly have enjoyed this workshop. Again, thank you to all the presenters. Just one more thing I would like to share, and in particular on step nine, I am just so, so, so grateful that we have a second generation family member in attendance at this festival. And tonight I'm going to bring a third generation family member to the dance. So, this program is just awesome. So thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Randy, and I'm a Grateful Al-Anon member.
Hi, Randy.
Step 10, when you're wrong, promptly admit it. Last night on the 4 to 10 talk, Richard came up to me and said, we're going to meet at the front table here for the 4 by 10, I think that's what you call it. And I said, I'm not talking. Immediately attacked him, and I said to him, you only asked me to greet. And Richard, being a classy guy, says, oh, yeah, I'm probably wrong. Let me check my notes on that. And I wiped my brow and said, that's great. You go do that. And then he got to the podium, and then he mentioned that we have four speakers, and one of them didn't attend the conference. And then it dawned on me that about 2 or 3 weeks ago at a meeting, Richard had said to me, I have four, but there's a chance I might not have one, and would you be willing to step in at the last minute? And I had agreed to do that. And it just sickened me last night. I got a poor sleep and woke up with a headache and slept in, and it really bothered me all night long, actually. So this morning I talked to Richard about it and apologized, and I'm sorry I did that, Richard. And he immediately said the right thing and said, you need to work on that, I think. And I said, yeah. You're probably right. There's something in there. I also wanted to say that I really enjoyed your talk last night, Nick. It was great stuff. It was, you're probably about half my age, but when I grow up, I want to be just like you. You're probably the best example of my higher power at work. It's kind of amazing how you go through this program and things happen to you. And Nick said some things last night that were pretty close to me and my story. I should not even be here today. I shouldn't even be in front of any of you today talking. When I came into this world, my mother had trouble with her birth with me. And I, too, had a umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. I was in a small town. The doctor didn't know what to do with us. In fact, the doctor came to the hallway with my dad and my grandmother and said to him, he's 24 at the time, and said, your wife and your baby are in a bad way. I don't know if I can save either one of them, but if I have to save one, which would you choose? Can you imagine being asked that when you're 24 years old? That's no wonder my dad was a drunk. I found the story out, by the way, this summer because of this program. I had conversations with my parents, and I asked my dad, what did you say? And he said, well, I just told him to do your best. So in the 50s, we had a high-tech piece of equipment called X-ray machine, and the doctor took us and X-rayed us, which is probably really good for both of us, and finds out that the umbilical cord is wrapped around my neck twice. So this is going to be a theme in my life for a long time, that I'm going to do things in extra measures and do things extra hard. So anyways, long story short, he ends up getting some forceps on my head, pulls it through, cuts the cord, and I'm born as what's called a blue baby. Dead. I'm not even supposed to be here. And he manages to revive me, obviously, and I'm here today. And Dr. J saved my life and saved my mother's life. And Dr. J was also a drunk. And he immediately went back to his office, threw everybody out, said, get the hell out of here. I got more people in the hospital sicker than any of you. Cleared his waiting room and got drunk. And that's how I came into the world. I was born into an alcoholic family. My great-grandfather was a drunk. My dad, my grandfather. My great-grandfather and my grandfather never did recover. Fortunately for me, my father did. And I was around AA and Al-Anon for a long time, but I didn't actually hit my bottom until last year when I was trying to save my son and my wife. And turns out that the guy that needed saving was Randy. And so I'm here today to do I'm on step 3.5, by the way. But I do my step 10 every once in a while, and I did an amend with my mom just by accident. I just apologize for being a really bad seed. I got lots of crap in my life to talk about, but I won't do that now. And anyways, I just want to say, Nick, you are a classic example of my higher power at work. And you are an angel, and you don't probably know how many lives that you'll save. And I'm really happy you're in Canada, and I'm really glad you came to Saskatoon. Thanks for listening.
tough to follow. My name is Dave, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Hey, Dave. Greetings from Calgary. I'm sitting arguing. My higher power argues with me on a regular basis, just so that you know. So I'm sitting at the chair. I'm listening. I'm loving things that I'm hearing. For me, I'd love to look back and see where people have come from, where they've grown. And I'm sitting there. My higher power goes, share your story. And I'm going, don't have to. It's the same as everybody else. So as I'm sitting in on the chair, I'm going, I'm working through my head. And I know none of you know this, but you work through all the stuff in your head. You're going through the 12 steps, the whole things. So what I really want to share today is the importance for me, the importance of I travel Western Canada, been to a number of different meetings all over the place. And what really thrills me is my higher power brings me to where I need to be. I was invited here. My mother's been in the program for way too long. I've had program jammed down me. Like when you're 12 years old and your mom says, well, get over it, get on with your stuff, and she's practicing the program on a 12-year-old, you got to go to Alateen. So I got a little bit of program, but what I want to share today is the fact that there's been so many people along the way that have shared their strengths, their hopes, their stories, that it's absolutely amazing. I've heard a number of different things where watching higher powers work in people's lives, watching things change, and the miracles that we see every single day. You know, to hear that, you know, the alcoholic in my life was my father, and to watch him destroy his life. And thank God my mother was in the program to help give me a little bit of a direction, a little bit of understanding. I did stay in Alateen because Carol was the cutest 13-year-old, but I stayed because I realized there were friends. There were people that grew up in that same aspect of it. But as I look back and as I share today, and I was, you know, sharing at the table this morning, I'm kind of going, wow, you guys keep sharing your program because that's what the higher power does for me. Like I said, God always argues with me on a regular basis, and there are times when he actually shuts me up. So some of my best meditation time has been when I'm running half marathons, when I'm training. I keep running, and they talk about it being in the zone and that blackout, or you know, you're not going to know what's going on. I have to make sure that my journal is at the end of the route or the end of the run because I have to write things down because it's an amazing opportunity to be able to share that. And then I'm able to share those strengths and those stories. So I'm starting to get nervous because now I'm doing my own stuff. So thank you. Love this seminar. And the fact that it's adult children in Calgary, we're struggling with adult children. A lot of the adult children are ending up in other programs, but I get that. You know, so keep practicing the program, and as you get closer to step 10, 11, and 12, when I look back, I'm kind of going, wow, can't believe I'm here. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Tammy. I'm a recovering codependent.
Hi, Tammy.
I'm very grateful to be here. My higher power made me come up here. I normally wouldn't do this. I am terrified, but I felt moved to come up and speak. I am so grateful for all the different perspectives I get to hear at the festival. It just continues to propel my growth forward. And thank you to Sharon for your talk on steps 10 to 12. I had no idea I was a stripper. So I didn't realize there's a program of stripping, so that's a new way to look at it. So that's a whole new meaning to attraction over promotion. I'm just not sure who we're going to attract if I say, hey, I'm a stripper. But anyway, so when I got to the program, the disease of alcoholism had killed my spirit. I allowed it to kill the essence of me. It killed my spirit. And so as I worked the program and stripped off the layers and found out who I really am, I still have no idea. I'm still working the program and it's evolving. And I'm so grateful that I have the tools to be able to speak my truth and to hear other people speak their truth, because that was not my experience growing up. I'm so grateful for 10 to 12. They've taught me trust and faith, which I never had before. And it's such a relief to know that all those times I turned my back on God, my higher power never turned their back on me. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for the program. Thank you, everyone, for sharing.
With that, I think we are bang on time to take a lunch break. So let's have another round of applause for all four of our presenters and everybody who shared.